Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, Montana, check out that.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So earlier this morning, I got a chance to catch up with a guy who has been on the show in the past. He's a former FBI Hispanic gang expert, now lives in Bozeman. He recently retired from the FBI and he served in the military before that. Now he's got a security consulting firm with some interesting clients here in the, you know, Bozeman, Big Sky, Montana area, but then some other interesting clients elsewhere all over the world, frankly. But again, this guy was the FBI Hispanic gang expert. So yesterday here on Montana Talks, John Jackson, the Joker from X, and I were talking about this story out of Wolf Point, Montana. This was a story reported by the Northern Plains Independent newspaper. Three individuals arrested on fentanyl and meth-related drug charges. And you can see the three individuals in the photo along with the news story. Thanks to the Northern Plains Independent for giving us permission to share that on our Montana Talks website. Those are the three individuals. There's a young woman who was arrested. And then the two men, they've got a lot of face tattoos. You've probably seen the image. One guy has one whole side of his face tattooed. And then the other side, really hardly any tattoos at all. So that's the photo if you've seen it already. But what I found very interesting, and I mentioned this yesterday on the show, was the Aurora, Colorado connection. According to the Roosevelt County Jail roster, one of the individuals is listed as being from Aurora, Colorado. I believe it's Jesus Avetia. In this drug-related arrest made in Wolf Point story from the Northern Plains Independent. So anyway, so I shared that story and another separate story out of Bozeman, where four people who were arrested in connection with what sounds like a home invasion burglary at an apartment near Belgrade, that those four individuals are currently being held on an ICE hold, an immigration retainer at the Gallatin County Detention Center. So the headline on our Montana Talks website was this: more ICE holds in Bozeman and Aurora, Colorado connections in Wolf Point. Well, that headline caught the eye of Dan Bruner with the Bruner Sierra Group, this former FBI Hispanic gang expert. So, I asked him in particular, I said, okay, to me, it's very interesting and should be very concerning when you see not just these drug-related arrests, because we know that the Mexican drug cartels have already been wreaking havoc upon reservations in particular here in Montana, but we know tribal leaders have spoken out about how the drug cartels are targeting Native Americans, and they've been targeting the Fort Peck Reservation. But what Daniel Bruner told me is he sees this Aurora connection as a sign that the violent Venezuelan prison gang Tren de Aragua has now moved into northeastern Montana. We already knew TDA was in Montana. DHS even confirmed this, but what he believes is this now proves that TDA has moved all the way up to northeast Montana. The audio right after this.
Montana. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
More ICE holds in Bozeman, Montana, and Aurora, Colorado connections in Wolf Point, Montana, with these recent drug-related arrests. I asked Dan Bruner, former FBI Hispanic gang expert, anything that stood out about my story on the Montana Talks website right out the gates. Listen to what he says.
I'm not surprised. So I've been talking about this leading up till now, that Tren de Aragua had moved into Montana. I knew this about a year ago. And this is what I specialized in, was Hispanic organized crime, gangs, transnational criminal organizations. And the fact that I was getting word that they were here in Montana did not surprise me. The fact that they were in Bozeman did not surprise me. The fact that they are in northeastern Montana does surprise me. That is right there to the fact. I spoke to some people who live up there, and they said that this is great that these individuals have been arrested. But what concerns me is not that they've been arrested. It concerns me is what else do we not know that is up there? So those three individuals are going to go to where there is support structure, where there's under individuals, there's other people that will support them. So those three were not the only three Tren de Aragua members in that area. Those three were just the ones that got caught. So my great concern point is what else is up there?
So do we know if these are actual Tren de Aragua members? I mean, I raised the question because if you've, because one of the guys, I looked at the Roosevelt County jail roster, and one of the guys who's named and who's photographed here, one of the guys with all the face tattoos, it lists him as being from Aurora, Colorado. And so first, that's the first of, oh man, well, what else has been happening in Aurora, Colorado? Tren de Aragua has been taking over entire apartment complexes down there.
Right. It's very difficult these days to identify individuals that have not been associated with a previous incident. So these individuals that were caught up there, were, you know, associated with the Aurora, Colorado. That's exactly what I expected to happen. When the attention got put onto Aurora, everyone scattered to various areas in the region. I would have expected some of them to come to Bozeman. I'm surprised that they went all the way up there, which, again, concerns me that what do we not know about that up there?
Well, and we've known that the Mexican drug cartels have been targeting our reservation communities in particular, and of course, Wolf Point, Fort Peck Indian Reservation, and so we know that the even tribal leaders have been speaking out that the drug cartels. But yeah, I do wonder if, like you say, if now given the Aurora connection here, that this is a first major indicator that yeah, Tren de Aragua is moving in on their turf.
I think it's easy to say that, yes, I think they've moved in. I've talked to people from the community here in Bozeman, from the greater Montana area, and they confirmed that Tren de Aragua had moved into Montana. So the fact that they've moved from Aurora to here, it does not surprise me. But it is very difficult to identify a Tren de Aragua member based solely upon tattoos or anything like that. You really have to have something predicating him, you know, another incident where you could say, okay, he was here amongst other gang members. Okay, now that we see him in Montana. So that's how we can do it, because we don't have a relationship with Venezuela to compare notes from back in Venezuela to say, yes, that individual is from the gang Tren de Aragua. So it's very difficult for law enforcement to build that database. Now that we have these arrests here, possibly in Bozeman, we don't know what, you know, what country they're from or if they're gang affiliated. But those are the things I've been telling my clients, is saying, listen, you have to be prepared. You have to use precautions. You know, these are some of the tactics they use, home invasion, utilizing different types of, you know, the South American theft group, you know, utilizing the home thefts. So these are the type of things I tell my clients to protect themselves upon.
Yeah,
so it's definitely a movement that's coming into Montana.
Yeah, and you work with clients, out there in the private sector as well, especially, you know, folks in the, high net worth folks in the Bozeman Big Sky area in particular, who, you know, got to be concerned about things like home invasions in particular. That leads us now to the Bozeman Daily Chronicle had a great report about four people arrested late Thursday in connection with basically a home burglary at what I think was an apartment building along the frontage road near Belgrade. All four are now placed on immigration retainers. It doesn't say where they're from, but again, hey, Tren de Aragua specializes in home invasions, but it's not to say that other nationality gang groups or cartel groups might not do the same activities.
Absolutely right. There's countless numbers of different groups, countless they're going to utilize. So these may be just four individuals who looked at an opportunity and learn from something from the news. But yet at the same time, this could be the Tren de Aragua members looking to conduct a home invasion and conduct a robbery. The South American Theft Group, which was an organized crime entity out of Chile, you know, that was sending their individuals here to the United States to conduct robberies. And that's been occurring across this country for the last 6 to 7 years. That is a large investigation. But the fact that TDA is moved in here and utilizing a lot of the same tactics does not surprise me. So those are some of the things. I have a lot of different things on my website, on my Substack, that I advise clients on how to protect themselves, how to make themselves a harder target. Listen, I can never guarantee to my clients this thing. I 100% guarantee that you will not get hit. But what I say, I teach my clients is how to make yourself a harder target so that when a group like these sees your home or sees your family, they go, ooh, they've got multiple layers of protection. Let's move on to the next house. So I just try to teach people here in Montana, you know, how to make it more a harder target.
All right. Yeah. Great insight there with Dan Bruner with the Bruner C. Arid Group. We had about another 7 minutes or so continuing that conversation. Full audio will be on our Montana Talks podcast, but I at least wanted to share those highlights, especially for our friends in KVCK country in Wolf Point. But then, heck, I mean, you know, the way this you know, drug cartel or Trinidad or Aragua-related crime and the meth and the fentanyl dealers, it impacts the entire High Line. It impacts the entire state. So I know our friends in Malta, Scobie, Plentywood, you name it, are also interested in hearing that very insightful discussion. Phone lines are open for you, as promised, right after this.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What do you guys think about that? What do you think about what Dan Bruner just shared regarding these recent meth and fentanyl drug-related arrests? What he had to say about how, you know, basically the cockroaches were scattering from Aurora, Colorado. They knew the national spotlight was on Aurora, Colorado, so then they scattered. That's very interesting. And they did they scatter as far away as Wolf Point, Montana? It's really not that far from Aurora, Colorado. I mean, heck, as a kid, we did several trips from the High Line, you know, down through Broadus, on down to Denver. And Aurora, of course, is basically just a southern suburb of Denver, Colorado. So, you know, in Montana terms, it's really not that far of a trip at all. So it isn't crazy to think that Trinidad and Aragua operatives in Aurora, Colorado said, huh, the Mexican drug cartels are having a field day up in northeastern Montana right now on the reservation. So, hey, now that the spotlight's being shined upon Aurora, Colorado, maybe we should scatter up that to that neck of the woods. It's not far-fetched at all, says the former FBI Hispanic gang expert who recently retired from the FBI. And remember, what was it? It was just a year ago. It's February 2025. I should go back and look at our audio archives from February of 2024. I'll bet at some point in February of 2024, we were talking about Trinidad Aragua. I'm sorry, I have to pretend to have a very fancy Hispanic accent. See, like the TV anchors down in L.A., they're the whitest, nerdiest sounding people ever. But then they have a Hispanic name, and it's like Trinidad Aragua. You know, it'd be like if you were in Butte for St. Patrick's Day here in a month plus. You know, oh, we've got Sean O'Hanity here in Butte, Montana. Sean O'Hanity is here for the Butte, Montana parade. You know, you have to emphasize the Irish accent on St. Paddy's Day. No other words, just the Irish names, though. I digress. But anyway, the other, you know, question I threw out there for Dan Bruner. By the way, if you want to jump in on the conversation, phone lines are open. Our phone lines have thawed out. The rest of the state hasn't thawed out, but our phone lines have thawed out. So you can call in and jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app if you don't have thick gloves on and you can still type. Maybe you got the gloves with the missing fingers when you go shooting. Yeah, use those, and then you can still type a little message on the Montana Talks app for us here. But the other question that I had for him is, Let's rewind the clock here. Let's rewind the tape about 2 or 3 weeks ago when you had these phony left-wing protesters out in front of the Metro Park in Billings, Montana. And there they were protesting any effort to deport illegal aliens. And there were some Native Americans that were flying Mexican flags. Huh. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Kind of curious that, wow, I've seen that person's name before. Wasn't that person holding a missing and murdered Indigenous women rally in downtown Billings. Why is that person now protesting in support of the very illegal aliens that targets Native American women? You know, just questions one might have. When you start to put together the link analysis, Charger, so I'm like, okay, you apparently are a paid activist that's been working with Western Native Voice, which is a George Soros-funded outfit, left-wing group, dark money group, to, you know, interfere in the elections here in Montana and get open borders liberals elected. You weren't successful in 2024, thankfully, and that's why we're finally starting to see some border security for a change. But okay, so you're the same person who is an operative for Western Native Voice, which is funded by George Soros, to support this open borders invasion, which is allowing these drug cartel operatives to come onto these reservations and target Native American women. So here you are protesting in support of illegal aliens and against deporting these illegal aliens, while at the same time virtue signaling about missing and murdered Indigenous women. So anyway, I just wonder, because we know that there's all these left-wing groups and these NGOs that are profiting off of the border invasion. And isn't it just curious how some of the very same left-wing entities that claim to care so much about Native Americans and missing and murdered indigenous women are some of the very same entities that support the politicians that allowed this open borders invasion to target our Native American communities in the first place. And then they protest in front of the Metro against the deportation of illegal aliens. You just got to wonder if there is some sort of a nexus there, don't you? 406-294-0970. Let's go to Tracy in the Flathead, listening to KJJR. Tracy, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Good morning. Thank you, Aaron, for what you do every day. I grew up in Lemon Grove, way down in California, and I saw the handwriting on the wall, and I left in 1974. And have been a Montana girl ever since. And with the border open like this, when they come, you've got to hit them and hit them hard and hit them fast, because they don't care what they're going to do. They will do what they're going to do, and they don't care about you. They will rape, they will steal, they will rob. And we just need to know, as American citizens, how we can protect ourselves. If they come through the window at 2 o'clock in the morning, they ain't coming for tea. And how exactly do we protect ourselves, and how exactly are we legal, and what do we have the right to do? And everybody better be packing. That's what the cops are telling us.
Yeah. Yeah, well, which leads me back, well, a couple of different thoughts that come to mind with your great phone call here. Did you see these left-wing protesters, democracy, Elon Musk, in Kalispell? And the same people that were protesting whatever 2 years ago and whatever before that. You know, they claim to be standing up for the Constitution. And it's like, oh, for Pete's sake, you're the very people that want to take away our Second Amendment rights. You don't get to now pretend that you care about the Constitution, when the same people That's that right. supported this open borders invasion are the same people that would take away your right to defend yourself from the invaders in your own communities.
Exactly. And they're the ones that probably have the most firepower in their homes, because they know better.
Well, yeah. And that's why when Dan Bruner was talking about making yourself a hard target, well, how do you do that? You carry, or you have guns in your home to protect yourself, and you have a video security system, and you make it very clear that you have protections in place, right?
Yes, sir. And also, there was one thing that was very important when I took a class. They said, you look straight in their eyes, and the intent of the eye is very important.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. If you show signs of intimidation or weakness, they will sense that weakness and they will prey upon it. It's kind of why Donald Trump always negotiates from a position of strength. Because if you do what so many of these politicians have done over the years, which is, well, I just want a 25% increase in American products going into your country.
Well, we'll give you 15. And then they settle for 5. You know, and it's because these politicians have constantly negotiated down. Donald Trump sets a strong, firm position, and then he gets the art of the deal exactly what he wanted.
Exactly. And the American people need to remember what we were founded on. You're not unkind when you expect people to do it right, just like you did it. And it's not unkind. You can help them when they do it right, when they come in legally.
That's
and
right.
They've done it right. You can help them, but not when they're doing it illegally. Just wait till they break into your home and do something terrible to you and your family.
You know who the happiest people are in America right now, I'll bet? Are the legal immigrants. Because think about it. Why did so many Hispanics vote for Donald J. Trump? Why did so many African Americans vote? Why did so many Black Americans vote for Donald J. Trump? Think about it. Which communities are more likely to be preyed upon by these illegal alien invaders and criminals? Migrant communities or inner city communities. And so, I mean, you think these uppity white liberals are having to deal with it? Now, their house might burn down because of a wildfire in California because of the horrific policies there. But you think they had to deal with these illegal alien invaders in their neighborhoods? No. The white liberals never have to deal with the consequences, by and large, of their own policy failures. But working class folks do. Which is why working class folks back Donald J. Trump. Hey, Tracy, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. On a lighter note, I talked about the cockroaches scurrying down in Aurora, Colorado, because of law enforcement going after Trinde Aragua down there. Frank in Malta, good correction, Frank. I appreciate it. He says, you have to say cockroach with an accent. So, Frank, thank you for the correction. La cucarachas went scurrying. Did they scurry all the way up to the High Line? It sure sounds like it, doesn't it? By the way, since we're joking around now, did you see the picture of all the guys with their face tattoos that were arrested in Wolf Point? What a shocker that those guys were dealing drugs. That was John Jackson's reaction yesterday. You know, basically like, oh, who would have thought? It's always the people you least suspect. Which reminds us of this Weird Al Yankovic song from about 13 years ago.
Beautiful tats all over my back. Makes me so proud, I'm gonna shout it out loud. I got another tattoo, baby. Yeah. Another tattoo, baby. No part of me's blank, I'm really...
There you go. That one's for Frank in Malta. He's dancing in the KMMR studios right now. Oh, that one's for you, Frank. I want sleeve tattoos. I don't know. Face tattoos might be an improvement for me. I'd rather have the sleeve tattoos, but I just am too indecisive for what kind of tattoo I'd actually want to do there. But, yeah, another tattoo, baby. Surprise, surprise, surprise. We'll go to Lee in Kalispell. Plus, we got phone lines open for you.
This is where Montana talks at. With Lane Nordlund.
This week, over 800 farmers, ranchers, landowners, and stakeholders are gathered here in Salt Lake City, Utah, for the 79th National Association of Conservation Districts Annual Convention. Jeremy Peters is CEO of NACD.
Our annual meeting gives us an opportunity for our members to set the grassroots policy for the association. We receive resolutions from all over the country, and then our board members take them up, they debate them, they adopt them, or they choose not to adopt different positions. It's just a great process to see our board members engaged on timely topics that are so important nationally, and we look forward to now begin the work of implementing those policies and seeing what we can get done on behalf of our members.
And for Sand Springs, Montana, rancher Dean Rogie, who serves as president of the Montana Association of Conservation Districts, everything starts at the local level.
So a lot of the reason we're here is that the good old people here in Montana and the value that they have and the good work they do on the land there in Montana. That's why we are here.
Yeah. I'm the local ecological knowledge in my neighborhood because I've been there for 61 years. I grew up there. I can see changes that happen. And some of our federal agencies, and this is nothing against them, they come and go, and they might see a 10-year period in my community, and then they move to another region. And I think that that's a valuable thing, is to tap into what we have for the local knowledge.
We'll have more on the National Association of Conservation Districts here on The Report throughout the week. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you want to jump in on the conversation, if you got something you want to talk about, we got a busy next couple of days. Tomorrow is our weekly legislative update with both Republican and Democrat leadership in the Montana legislature. And then Friday, we're in Glendive for the Gate Show, the Glendive Agri Trade Expo. We'll have open microphones if you want to come down and join us on the mic. Or, hey, if you know somebody in the Glendive area that's going to be around during the Gate Show and they have a great story to share, or they would be somebody great to talk to on the radio, send them our direction. Send us a message on the Montana Talks app if they want to schedule a time to join us, or just tell them to come down and join us at the Gate Show, and we can figure out a way to make something work on top of all the other great guests that we'll have there for the Glendive Agri Trade Expo as well. I was looking at some of the comments. I shared this story, this Montana Talks story, on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Flint Report. And man, the comments, there were some very good, you know, on point comments here as well. But there was some pretty funny comments also. This story about, you know, the three drug dealer suspects arrested in Wolf Point, and the photographs, and a couple of the guys had all the face tattoos. You know, you had the Harvey Two Face of the cartels is what I jokingly referred to it. One of the guys. I shared this story. More ice holds in Bozeman, Aurora, Colorado connections in Wolf Point. And some of the comments, I'll share a few of those here in just a few minutes. But first, on a serious note here, when we talk about TDA, Tren de Aragua, and how big of a threat this violent Venezuelan illegal alien prison gang truly is, check out this news out of Tennessee. This comes from Fox News Radio. The U.S. Attorney's Office and Tennessee law enforcement came together to announce a big multi-count, multi-defendant indictment now showing Tren de Aragua and a massive sex trafficking scheme. This is Robert McGuire, the acting U.S. attorney for the Middle District of Tennessee.
The indictment alleges that all eight of the defendants conspired to transport women from South America into the United States and compelled those women to engage in prostitution.
Now, again, just like I raised a question before, why do you have some of these very same, you know, groups that claim to be advocating for Native Americans also advocating for the illegal aliens that are targeting Native Americans? I wonder how many of these groups right here in Montana that claim to be so concerned about human trafficking, and they have their human trafficking this or their human trafficking that, their task force or this. I wonder how many of those individuals have openly supported the very policies that are allowing these types of human trafficking operations to occur as a result of the last 4 years of open borders. I think we would find a very interesting nexus of the two once again. Again, because these folks on the left, they're never actually held accountable. Well, over here I wear this ribbon that claims to be concerned about human trafficking. Over here I wear the red ribbon that claims to be concerned about missing and murdered indigenous women. And then over here I wear the ribbon that doesn't want illegal aliens deported. Huh? Just wear the ribbon. Just wear the ribbon. Let's go to Lee in Kalispell next up on the phone lines. Lee, what's going on?
Hi, Aaron. Yeah, this deals with, I heard where the percentage rate went a half a point up this last month. Now, you said it was a surprise. I don't find anything surprising about it at all, because you have to figure Biden was president for the first 20 days. Trump didn't take over for at least about the last 10 days.
Yeah, I think the Fed is trying to undermine a Trump bump in the economy, and they're trying to figure out a way. They're trying to figure out a way to slow the growth that Trump is about to deliver. So yeah, that's why. Oh, before the election, they tried to bail out, Biden and Harris by reducing the interest rates slightly, and then election's over. Oh well, we got to raise the interest rate a little bit again here. No, good
Good point. Great question. I think it's one more reason why people were so pleased to hear Elon Musk talk about auditing the Fed and having Ron Paul lead that audit. Lee, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Next up, hey, I mentioned our friend Frank in Malta, not just listening to KMMR, but running the board at KMMR. Frank, great to hear from you. Thanks for the phone call.
Hey, man, what's happening?
What are they way? You staying warm?
Yeah.
Barely, right?
About 17 below outside, though. But, yeah, I'm staying warm in here.
Ah, you're a Montana kid. That's no big deal, right?
Heck no. Heck no.
What'd you think about that song? So you know what's funny is I went to share that Montana Talk story on Instagram. And you know, with Instagram, you can add a song to your photo, to your post. And so I just searched for a tattoo song. I didn't even know Weird Al Yankovic had a song about tattoos. So it just, you couldn't have asked for a better fitting song.
Right. And you're still saying it wrong, Aaron. It's cockroach.
It's not cockroach.
It's hard to say it. It's a cockroach, yeah.
It's not the La Cucaracha?
No, that's a song, man.
Oh, well, I'm glad we got you here to keep me on track.
Yeah, man.
Isn't that just a crazy story about just everything that's going on across Montana? What are people talking about in your neck of the woods? What are you hearing in Malta?
Well, I don't really know because I get to work, I come home, I go home, and then that's where I'm at. So,
well, hey, that's all right. As long as you keep those local sports on the radio, everybody's going to be happy, right?
I'm sorry, say that again.
As long as you keep the local sports on the radio, everybody's happy.
Right, exactly. Yep. They're happy about that.
All right, Frank, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. Some of the comments that I got here on this story, let me see. Because John Jackson, you know, yesterday as we were talking about these three individuals, I just showed him the story from the Northern Plains Independent and Wolf Point. I said, hey, John, have you seen this story yet? And, of course, his response, you heard it on the radio, was, it's always the people you least suspect. There were similar comments on Facebook when I shared this story online as well. Some serious ones, some funny ones. Nick Kerner said, who would have thought? Michelle, is it Eichley, says, we want them out. Joanna King, their dreamer tattoos are oh so all-inspiring. Let's see. Carrie White, former state lawmaker out of Bozeman, said, Bozeman is a magnet for illegals. Where is the public statement from the city commission? Are they complacent in these criminals in our valley? Thank you, Gallatin County Sheriff, for your work. Now it's time for checkpoints at Big Sky. I'd like to hear from our three Democrat county commissioners. What say you? Let's see. Oh, and then I think one of the best comments was, oh, they're just here to pick our lettuce. They're just here to pick the lettuce. Yeah, you know, when the folks on the left say, oh, come on, these illegal aliens that are raping and murdering people, they're just here to pick our lettuce. Or the white liberal in Big Sky, who's going to shovel my snow if we deport criminal illegal aliens? That's right, they're just here to pick the lettuce for the uppity white liberals. Justin Terry said this. That's the left's number one argument. Who will pick the fruit, the vegetables, the fields? Who will shovel the snow? Why does this sound like the same argument for slavery the Southern, his word, Democrats used after the Gettysburg Address? Those were just some of the comments in reaction to this story. Back into the phone lines we go. We've got Richard in Bozeman. Richard, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hi, Aaron. Thank you for taking the call. I'm calling about the failure of the legislature to pass yet another bill that would eliminate tax on Social Security. The bill was HB 148. Here are the 10 Republicans on the Appropriations Committee that tabled that bill. Eric Albus, District 28, Brad Barker, District 55, David Betty, 86, Terry Falk, District 10, John Fitzpatrick, District 76, Lou Jones, District 18, Bill Mercer, District 52, Jerry Schillinger, District 34, Mike Vinton, District 40, and Ken Walsh, District 69. This is the second session in a row that this committee has tabled the bill. And somebody in the legislature, some Republican, they need to blast it out of committee and get it voted on to pass it over to the Senate.
Hold that thought. Yeah, Richard, hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here, and I'll come right back to you. Yeah, because I appreciate you talking about this topic. Yeah, since day one, I think we need to stop taxing Social Security benefits in Montana. We're one of only a handful of states that still does it, so let's stop it. Hold that thought. We'll come back to you after this.
Traveling.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yep, just here to pick vegetables. Just here to pick vegetables. That was the comment from Eric Prather, if I pronounced his last name right there, Eric Prather, one of the Facebook comments. In relation to the fact that you had four, people held in the jail in Bozeman on an ICE hold. We don't know what country they're from, but they were part of a home burglary at an apartment near Belgrade. Just here to pick vegetables. And then the guy from Aurora, Colorado, and the gal from Pueblo, just here to pick vegetables. Right. As Stephen Miller pointed out, he's the deputy chief of staff for President Donald J. Trump. As he pointed out, these people that invaded this country in the last 4 years, they're not working in farm programs. There are legal programs that were already in existence before 4 years ago. The numbers show that these people were going to cities, they were going to reservations, and they were dealing drugs and committing all sorts of vicious crimes. Now, not all of them, but a massive number of them, as we're seeing here already in just the last 3 weeks, that are thankfully finally starting to get deported out of this country or put behind bars and being held accountable. Back to Richard in Bozeman. Yeah, Richard, a bill to stop taxing Social Security benefits. I'll tell you, this is one of those topics. Every time it comes up, I will get a bunch of messages. We will get a bunch of phone calls. And people agree with you. Stop taxing our Social Security benefits in Montana. We're one of only a handful of states that does. President Trump is even pledging to stop taxing Social Security benefits at the federal level. So let's do the same at the state level, right?
Hooray. Yep. And, I looked at the voting from the Appropriations Committee. More Democrats voted to not table the motion than did Republicans. And that's disgraceful. And, this tax is a triple tax on our income. First, it's taken out of our salary. Second, the federal government taxes the Social Security benefits. Third, Montana taxes it. They're one of nine states that do. And in Montana, I looked at the Census Bureau stats, and the estimated population in Montana in July of last year, 20.5% were aged 65 and over. That's 233,000 Montanans, which certainly is not a small fringe voting block.
One-third of all voters in Montana, my buddy Evan Wilson, who's the numbers genius, the prominent pollster. He does polling all across the country, but he's a Montana kid, so he loves Montana. He told me one-third of Montana voters heading into 2024 are baby boomers. Right? I mean, so it's a massive block that's very clearly moving into those retirement years now. Now, I get where some of these Republicans are coming from. They're saying, look, we need to prioritize property tax relief, and then we're also focused on delivering more income tax relief as well. But look, here's the deal. Every time we've cut taxes, it's led to more revenue, not less. So that tells me there's room for stopping this tax too.
Yep. And I testified by Zoom last week or week before, I can't remember when, And people got up and said, well, the teachers union got up and said, we can't afford to give this tax up. We can't afford it. Our budget can't afford it. And I said, so you're going to take it off the back of the seniors in Montana to pay to not and not cut spending? Come on, people.
Hey, there's obviously ways. Just like what Elon Musk is showing with Doge at the federal level, you know, the governor showed with the Red Tape Relief Initiative here at the local level that we can do it here. I think there is more that can be done on the Doge track in Montana as well. In fact, to that left-wing teachers union that says, oh, we can't afford to do away with taxing Social Security benefits. Oh, you know, one way we could afford it is stop funding your woke, anti-American, LGBTQ agenda-promoting woke teachers union conference that you guys just hosted in Bozeman last November. That's one great way we can start saving taxpayer money.
Amen. And, you know, it's this bill, they even had it, they even amended it. Originally, it was to go into effect, stop taxing on January 1st of next year. And it was amended to delay the elimination until 2030. That's 5 years from now.
Oh, wow.
I
hope they find room for it, but I also understand that, you know, that Montanans on a bipartisan basis are really want to see some property tax relief. But like I say, every time we've cut taxes, it's led to more revenue, not less. So, Richard, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We got less than a minute to go. Let's sneak in one more caller. Willie in the Paradise Valley, your thoughts on this Social Security conversation?
Yeah, well, I just was thinking when they were talking about that right now. I mean, the Democrats aren't totally stupid, and if there's a lot of, like you've already said, a lot of retired people in the state here now. So why not get rid of it? Because that's going to hurt them in the next election because they're going to go back. So the Democrats are going to play right in and say, oh, we don't want to tax a Social Security and that. And then how many Republicans are basically they just need to get it done and be done with it, just let it being in their playbook to screw everybody else. So that's my opinion.
And hey, time it with President Trump doing away with it at the federal level. And it'd be a great Team Trump maneuver all around, if you ask me. Hey, well, we're going to have the weekly legislative update tomorrow with legislative leadership from both parties. And so, we'll cover a whole bunch of ground tomorrow on the show. Appreciate all the great phone calls. Sorry we didn't get to everybody today. That'll sometimes happen. If you